Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Happy Labor Day. This is G.R. Mobley, and this is actually live. Most of the conservative entertainers are taking the holiday off, but I don't recognize Labor Day really as a holiday. I know the federal government has kind of inserted it into the schedule for holidays, but if you really look and do the research on this particular holiday, this is the American version of May Day or the labor movement, and is really akin to communism because it is recognizing the laborer of collective labor. And so if you go do the research on this, this is really a communist paradigm in recognizing the labor. If you want to recognize the labor, you give them work. If you want to recognize people who are seeking jobs, you give them work. You don't give them a day off. Bottom line, what this is an additional tax on business to have to come up with money to basically, because every holiday is a tax on business, especially if you're a small business owner. If you understand that you want to open the doors and then all of a sudden the government is going to come along and literally create a law that is going to mandate that you give time off to your employees, that means that you have to either take money out of their salary that you could be giving them for work because you're paying them for non-productive labor. And so as you understand and do the due diligence on Labor Day alone, you will realize that Labor Day is actually a communist holiday, and it is designed to put more of a tax on businesses so that they have to either reduce the cost or they have to shoulder that burden onto you, the consumer, or onto the labor or what have you. So we're far better off having an opportunity to be productive every day than we have to just literally doing nothing every day. Now, let me get into my morning or my usual diatribe at the beginning of the show. The beginning of my day is in the morning, but the beginning of the show, I need to tell you that this show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. It is also sponsored by 1798Part2.org, and it is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that has and asserts the only solution that will get the federal government into full compliance to the Constitution, which will literally solve over 95% of all of our problems. The number to call in is 215-867-8255. And if you want me to translate that into a phonetics, then it would be 215-TOP-TALK. So people like to remember the word. So it's 215-TOP-TALK. I do have a caller on the line, but just be patient with me, caller. Let me get through this very front-end part, and I'll pick you right up. What we have is a show that is dedicated to the state legislators. Most people do not understand the power that these men and women actually possess, that the mantle that they are at really can reel in the federal government. And so we're trying to educate all 5,445 state legislators across this republic so that they will assert their authority and get the federal government into compliance. We're also dedicated to supporting those county grassroots leaderships as well as the state grassroots leaderships that are out there so that we can get them engaged in actually taking back the focus of these organizations and making them centric to the Constitution so that they can ensure that those who are serving in those 5,445 positions are constitutionally centered candidates. And so if you didn't know as well, I have all my podcasts on Reclaiming the Republic. There are many reasons why you need to download those, but primarily This show is an educational show, and I dovetail a lot of the concepts and a lot of the information that we provide is available right there on reclaimingtherepublic.org. Just go to the Red State Talk Radio podcast page, and you can get access to any and all of my podcasts, except for those that my IT guy has failed to capture or what have you. We're missing a couple, but for predominantly, we've got them all there. Let me also point out, if you go to my Take Action page on reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will also be able to look or watch the video, and you actually have access to the slides that I use in that presentation. Just watch the first 30 minutes. It is a 30-minute presentation that will literally change your paradigm on the Constitution. And so I just ask that you just take 30 minutes out of your life to really learn and understand the importance of putting the Constitution into a context of a contract and how we can move forward by looking at it in the same paradigm as the framers did, because the framers clearly looked at the Constitution as a contract. One last thing, I got to grovel. Anybody that wants to get involved with Reclaiming the Republic, you let me know by sending me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I can use support. This war, this fight that we have literally requires as much support as possible. So if you have a computer, you've got a phone, you'd be surprised how well you can reach out across the Republic and engage anybody and everybody. It's just a matter of if you've got the phone numbers or whatever you need, and we will help you do that and help you do the research and so forth. So just hit me up at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And so I've got about 4 minutes. Let me go ahead and pick up my caller. Yes, sir, or ma'am. Who am I talking to? Hello.
Is this me?
I think this is me.
This is Keith Broders.
Hey, Keith, how are you doing today? Folks, this is...
Thank you. I'm really excited about the solution that you've come up with, because obviously the problem is we don't really need to amend the Constitution. We really need to enforce it. But we can't, and as far as enforcing it is concerned, we need to hold the government accountable, and that is the responsibility of the states. And it is up to us to engage our states and get them to do their job. They are the middleman. They are the ones who are supposed to protect us from the abuse of power by the central government.
Yes, absolutely. That's right up my line of focus and work. And so let me kind of introduce everybody. Keith is I'll just call you a conservative. What do you want me to call you, Keith?
An American
conservative. He's a very conservative constitutional warrior, and he literally lives within walking distance of Mordor. And so Mordor being Sacramento, the capital of California. And so anyway, he's literally watching this whole world crumble from the black hole right there in California. I know you've got a lot on your plate with the issues there in California, but it's a breath of fresh air to hear somebody actually recognize that the real solution can be stepping away from the problems. And folks, the really important thing is that even though you think you need to fight this battle or that battle, it's kind of like being in the aircraft as the depressurization occurs. You are literally useless unless you put your own mask on first, because you only have so many seconds before you black out. So to save yourself and before you can help anybody else, you've got to get that mask on. And I believe that's very similar to what we need to do if we're going to save our republic and save other states and save other areas. We literally have to get our own areas, or at least get the area that is most likely to save us. And I consider that Wyoming. So my focus and today for the show is Wyoming. And so I appreciate you calling, Keith. Anything else?
No, I would just like to encourage people to connect with me on my website, which is the Constitution Club.
Yes,
Constitution Club, and the URL is H. HTTP colon /constitutionclub.ning, N-I-N-G dot com. Join me. We have approximately 4,500 members all around the country, and we need more support because we are actively pursuing the restoration of the Republic under the leadership of G.R. Mobley. We believe that he is absolutely 100% correct. All of the symptoms that are out there, people are complaining about all these different abuses of power. But what we really need to do is we need to go and audit the Constitution. Contrary to what everybody thinks, the Supreme Court is not the final arbiter of the Constitution. It is the states. They are the authors of the Constitution. They created the government. And they, the states, are the ones who are responsible to hold the federal government accountable.
Right.
We, the people, need to get our states' governments to do their job. And collectively, the states have the power to put the tyrant back in the cage.
Right, right. So we have basically 20 seconds left. So what I'll do, Keith, is send me an email just to remind me to get that link. And folks, the link to the Constitution Club will be on my podcast page as well as my important links page. And so I'll talk more about that as I as we move forward. And as a matter of fact, I want to start promoting the Constitution Club so that people can actually start getting engaged, because there's lots of content there. Thanks for calling in, Keith. Well, folks, we're at that point in time where I have a hard break. And so we will be right back after a word or two from our sponsor. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And as I was just, and as I usually say, going into the break or going and coming back from the break, I usually talk about the fact that I have checked the news. And again, I did check the news again today. There is no sign that the federal government will be willing in any way, fashion, or form to disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. These controls that it has over the states and over the people are literally unconstitutional. So with the fact that they are refusing and they will never wake up to the fact that they need to dismantle these things, that means that it leaves it up to you and I. We have to do this. There's nobody that's going to do this for us. And so I think it's really critical that everybody starts contributing in one fashion or another. Get involved. Get involved with the Constitution Club. Get involved with your GOP. Become a PCO if there is nobody there in your precinct that is filling that precinct committee officer's position or whatever your state calls it. Become a part of the solution, because just by listening to the show may be helping, and by spreading the word about the content of the show, it does help, but it's minuscule in comparison to you actually investing the opportunity costs of spending your time in these positions and doing this type of work. I think it's critical that everybody gets involved in this one fashion or another. I understand that some of you may be so involved in life, because life does get it gets very busy, and we're all dying from that disease called the busies. Who doesn't have a luxury of time to where you can actually just, you know, kind of meander through the day on a daily basis? Nobody has that time. Everybody has way too many things that are going on. So I get it. Life is tough, but it's tough for everybody, and it's tough for the government with managing all of these tentacles in our lives. And if we are to get them out of our lives, it's going to require a little time and a little effort. So we have to schedule, you have to schedule that time. You have to start managing that. And who knows, maybe it's 30 nights or 30 minutes at nighttime or 30 minutes in the morning when you get up to actually start getting engaged, whether that's sending out emails and saying, hey, you've got to listen to this show. Hey, you need to read this. You need to watch this. Getting people involved. Become a leader. Every human being has the capacity of being a leader. You don't become a leader until you start acting like one. And acting like one means that you are actually taking charge, you're getting involved, and you are engaged. That's all I have to say about that. So let me move on. So I just want you to know, for the record, I and Joe Biden agree completely that the midterm elections are crucial. They're counting on creating a blue wave. I want to actually negate that wave. We need to make sure that we rally the base. I don't care who, where, what you are. If you have any conservative inclinations regarding this Constitution and what's going on in your state, your local area, and the nation, you need to make sure that you are getting actively involved and making sure you vote. I need your help, and I'm going to get into this Wyoming governor race. I may have said this before, but I need to get into the details again. The Republican Party across the nation has a detrimental policy that allows anybody to walk in off the street and run as a Republican. Literally, they have no vetting process, and they can't stop anybody from running. I think that needs to change. And the only way you can change that is by changing the bylaws of your organization, that prior to any election, anybody that wants to run in a primary or run to represent the Republicans because they want to claim that they have a Republican preference, they want to claim that they're running as a Republican, then the Republican Party has the obligation of stating whether this person is a real Republican and supports their platform, supports the Constitution, and measures up to supporting their brand. The Republican brand should be one of supporting the Constitution, period. And so in this Wyoming governor race, they had a candidate that was literally a Democrat. He had no credibility. He just understood that the only way he could win in Wyoming is being a Republican, because it's like 10 to 1 in Republicans to Democrats in Wyoming. So just so you understand, he actually got into the primary. And in Wyoming, they also have the stupid law that lots of states have that allow the Democrats or Republicans to switch their party affiliation right before an election. So there was a call. They asked all the Democrats to switch their party affiliation and go and vote for Mark Gordon. Well, guess what? There was about 15,000, I believe, and that's the count I'm hearing, about 15,000 Democrats voted for Mark Gordon in the primary. It was enough to get him across the finish line with the other six candidates. Now, Foster Freese, who was the Trump-endorsed candidate, came in second. Harriet Hageman, she came in third. And both of them were in really well within that 15,000 vote reach that Mark Gordon had. I think he only had somewhere around 35,000. Foster came up with 29, and Harriet Hageman's had something like 26, 27,000. So each of them were well within that 15,000. And I think Sam Galeatos and Taylor Haynes also finished. Taylor Haynes, I think, finished kind of low. But bottom line is, if you add it all up, he didn't even have one third of the votes. And so what they ended up doing was the Democrats were able to stack the election card with two progressives for the governor. This is criminal. This is criminal when a party allows itself to be undermined like that. And even worse, they have another policy that demands that all those who ran in the election, all the other fellow candidates, endorse the one that won. That ties their hands. Now they have to support the communist in this race. Are you kidding me? So if you understand, I've said this before, the difference between a manager and a leader is managers do things right. In other words, it's in the bylaws, they follow the rules. Leaders break the rules. Leaders will actually stand up when something is wrong. They'll say, hey, I've got to do the right thing. I don't care if I get in trouble. I don't care if I lose my job. I'm going to do the right thing. And unfortunately, there was no leader in this process that recognized that what the heck they were doing was a detriment to Wyoming, and I'll even say to the Republic. We need Wyoming to stand up and demand that they audit the Constitution. And I'm telling you, with Mark Gordon, he's going to probably institute policies or try to push policies as a Republican-labeled communist, and actually get the state legislators to give him programs and policies and legislation that will be a detriment to their future elections and future processes and so forth. And so we need to get, but there's hope here. I want you to know that there's actually hope. There's a man by the name of Rex Rammel, who is a Republican, who decided right before the race. He literally filed in June after the Republican race had been finished, after they had kind of sealed the deal and who was running as Republicans on this race. And so Rex Rammel was actually able to get in because he went into the Constitution Party, went through their caucuses, and was nominated as the Constitution Party candidate, and he's on the ballot. The only problem is he doesn't have a Republican label next to his name, and it's unfortunate. You know, there's these laws that require food companies to put precisely what is in the package that you're buying. I think, you know, that's good, but I think it's far worse if we don't have the precise descriptions of what's in these politicians when people are voting for them, because they don't know. And 9 times out of 10, people won't even read the label. That's how bad this is, folks. That's why I need your help. I need you to start reaching out to anybody and everybody. We've got to start, you know, this is a call to action. We need to start getting active. I will ask you if you can help by either reaching out to Rex Rammel. It's R-E-X RAMMELL, and go online, Rex Rammel, Wyoming. You can go to his website. Please donate some money. He needs help. We're trying, and I'm two steps away from hopefully getting to somebody with some influence that might be able to step in and help financially. But do not count on that. I mean, this is like a Hail Mary pass that we're trying to throw. And what we need to do, because there is a higher likelihood of getting a third-party candidate into office in Wyoming than a write-in. We, you know, trying to do a write-in campaign is impossible because most people, oh, well, who's I supposed to vote for? Yeah, there's, I don't know. And I will tell you what will end up happening because most everybody knows that this guy is not a Republican. This guy is a communist in sheep's clothing. And so I apologize. I've got a hard break. So let me finish this rant on the backside of this break because it's really important, folks. We have to win these things and we need to literally start climbing out of this ditch that we're in. And we can do that, but we have to work together. So we'll be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And so, as I was saying, it is critical that we somehow use any effort you possibly have to try to educate people, especially if you know somebody in Wyoming. If you know somebody adjacent that might know somebody, it could be a friend of a friend of a friend. Try to reach out. Try to make everybody aware of this issue. As a matter of fact, go out on Facebook and look up some of these Wyoming conservative pages. Get active, get involved on these pages and start speaking in behalf of Rex Rammel, that they need to vote, that you're supporting Rex, and tell them why you're supporting Rex, because he is the only constitutional candidate. And as far as, you know, we're concerned, you know, the Constitution is everything. It's time we stop putting party over our country and our Constitution. That's why we're in this mess, is because the parties, the uniparty system, and if you understand what I'm talking about, how the Republicans are allowing the Democrats to undermine them, and then they still have a process of tying their Republicans' hands even further, to me, that is just like surrendering, and that just is the epitome of a uniparty system, and we've got to absolutely stop this. I have an article that I'm going to be publishing, and I'm going to let you know either tomorrow or Wednesday. It's a long article, but this is an academic argument that points to the fact that America was a Christian nation. And when I say America, what I mean by that is each sovereign state were Christian states, period. And I'm going to provide you some academic evidence and the argument that it not only was a Christian state, but it actually became a secular state by the federal government establishing its own religion. So I set this argument up that we went from a Christian nation to literally a nation that has been put under the oppression of a federal government that has created the anti-Christian church. And I know that may seem like a big leap, but if you've read Milton Friedman's Free to Choose, he clearly points out that the federal government has violated the Establishment Clause. There have been other really great minds that have actually said the exact same thing. And I talk about this in my very first book, and I've really extrapolated stuff from my first book and other information today to provide you with the evidence that the federal government has created a national secular church. And instead of having a Sunday school, instead of having a brick and mortar organization, they have a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday school. They're using the existing education system as their doctrinal center and promulgating their doctrinal message. They don't have to have necessarily clergy. That's what the courts are for. And since the early 1900s, the courts have been forcing secularism down our throat and basically making it, tying our hands and making it illegal to have any kind of Christian and or religious expressions, crosses, and so forth. You cannot tell me, as you start looking at the evidence, that the federal government is not in the business of being the Antichrist church. And so I just want you to understand that this article is coming, and it's going to be worth your read because it will lay down all the facts. And I believe this is an irrefutable argument. When you start looking at the doctrine in school compared to the doctrine in Christianity, Christianity teaches evolution. The school teaches the antithesis. Christianity teaches, you know, marriages between a man and a woman. The schools teach the antithesis of that. I mean, almost every Christian doctrine that you can think of and label down, and I've got like 30 some odd different doctrines, and I prove that the school is teaching the antithesis of the Christian doctrines. So you be the judge, and I think you'll find this a very good article. It's like a mini book, but to give you all of the information that I think is necessary that supports this argument, I always err in more than not enough. I also want you to understand that in the elections, voting for a corrupt or even a criminal Republican candidate over a Democrat is a must. Why? Because if that Republican does get seated and he is found guilty, because remember, we seem to find people guilty as soon as they've been alleged of a crime. You have to let the criminal process move forward, but you have to put the blinders on and vote for the Republican. There is the highest likelihood that the crime will be exposed if it is truly a crime, and that Republican will be unseated. This is the critical part you need to understand. When a Republican or a Democrat is unseated, the party that has that seat is asked to replace that person. So if we own the seat, then we can replace that person with a much better person. if the Democrats get it, then they will not surrender it. And if their person is culpable and guilty, and 9 times out of 10, they won't resign. Most Democrats just go, I got caught. Just like Bill Clinton, he never resigned. Nixon got caught, he resigned. There's a huge, it's a night and day difference. The majority of the Democrats that get caught, they refuse to resign. They have to literally be dragged through jail, or I should say, dragged through the court system and everything else, and then they still fight to try to maintain their seat. So that is why it's critical. And this has something to do, and this has everything to do with the Duncan case. I forget his last name. Duncan Hunter. He's down in the San Diego area, and they're calling, they're asserting that he's violated some campaign finance laws and so forth. Make them prove it. Vote for him. Get him in. If he's violated the laws and he needs to go to jail, then that's fine. You can replace him with another good Republican candidate. Do not allow that to let the Islamist terrorist relative who, remember, his grandfather, the guy that's running against him, his grandfather was involved in the Munich terrorist attack on that killed 12 Israelis in 1972. So do not allow just any allegations to alter your vote. Vote for the Republican, period. Do not allow them to obfuscate the election and that process. I'm not sure if anybody had a chance yesterday, but I accidentally was listening on Sirius to Fox News, and they were playing Levin's TV show on Fox, and he was interviewing Shelby Steele. And I only listened to it, you know, I forced myself to listen to a bit of this. And Mark Levin made a comment that we're all free today. And I'm going, even him in his own books talk about how we're not free, how we've been oppressed, how we've lost liberty, how, you know, we're continually, every facet of our life is being taken and controlled by the government. And so I'm kind of going, how is he asserting that we're free? Anyway, Shelby Steele made some comments that I also wanted to scratch my head and go, really, is he saying this? Shelby Steele commented that blacks have been oppressed for over 300 years. Now, I will admit that we institutionalized slavery, but we didn't institutionalize it until the Constitution allowed the states to institutionalize it, period. Before that, it was the British government, and we inherited what the British government had set up. But even before they institutionalized slavery, blacks, there were black freemen, and you need to read Thomas Sowell's Black Rednecks and White Liberals if you really want to understand the racism and the problems with slavery and so forth in the history of this in this nation, because he points out that there were plenty of black freemen in the very beginning, in the early 1600s, it wasn't until like 1625 where they actually started institutionalizing slavery. And I believe it was in the 1650s where they made it law in most of the states that blacks were to be slaves, period. And they couldn't, you know, nobody else could be slaves. And that's when they started institutionalizing slavery. But there were plenty of black freemen, and as a matter of fact, moving into the Civil War, I think Thomas Sowell points out there's like 30 or 40% of the slave owners in Louisiana were black. So understanding, you know, how, you know, we can broad brush something and say this is so for 300 years, I understand how it's easier to do that, but I also want to point out that during that same 300 years, there's a government that was stood up called Liberia in Africa. And if you understand the history of that government was ceded by this government by repatriating freemen to go back to Africa so that they would have a better chance of living a life without having racism and everything else. And that plan came from Thomas Jefferson. It moved forward with some volition with James Madison, and it was actualized by James Monroe. Therefore, that is why the capital of Liberia is named Monrovia after James Monroe, who actualized this plan that Jefferson put in place. I also want to, you know, say that it's easy to literally broad brush, but I want you to understand that after the Civil War, for 150 years since, The U.S. government ended the oppression of blacks and slavery. Unfortunately, some states instituted Jim Crow laws and other oppressive laws to go after the blacks. But that does not make America that way, and America should have stepped in. You know, unfortunately, there's been all of these problems left and right between one racial problem and or another, but those are more of racism than institutionalized across the board. So we have to be very careful when we use broad brushes, because too many people buy that as gospel doctrine. And so I just wanted to try to clarify that. And we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors, because as you can tell, I'm at another heartbreak. So please stay tuned. I'll be right back. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And literally, this is last call. This is the last segment for the show. But so if you want to call in, again, it's 215-TOP-TALK. The one reason why I brought up this Levin show really wasn't just to complain, because it's easy to complain. And I always like to make, you know, to provide clarification. If I really find something that, you know, why is this person broad brushing or stating something like that? It kind of kills me. I mean, we all, you know, get caught up in trying to get something said, and we sometimes, you know, come up with the wrong word or choice of words to say, and people get offended. I understand that, but the real thing that jumped out at this, and this is why I really wanted to talk about this, is Steele started talking about how the left, and Levin was amplifying on this and zooming in very specifically on this issue, how the left has been using allegations against the right, as we've seen with Judge Roy Moore and so forth. But what they try to do, and if you haven't noticed, racism has become a real weapon, and it has been a weapon for a long time. And Steele's talking about how this white supremacy labeling and this racism has really started losing its traction as a weapon. However, the problem isn't necessarily how the left has been using it. I have found that the right and or the Republican Party has been embracing this as well as purging their ranks. And so the establishment Republicans are targeting and focusing, because you know John Cain, if you understand what John Cain was all about, and I haven't done my special on him yet, I will, now that they've finally put his buried him and we can start moving on. I think I will probably this week provide you what I believe the insights that everybody needs to walk away with, and then start questioning why we're taking, I would say, sacred ground in allowing the housing of communists and people who did anything and everything they possibly could to undermine our constitutional republic. They do not deserve to be buried on this sacred ground. I think that they should at least be of some level of honorability like John Adams, because John Adams' family wouldn't dare put the burden of burying John Adams in a national cemetery, or allowing the government at that point in time when he died in, I believe it was July 4th, 1825 or 26. Him and Jefferson died on the exact same day. And the family just couldn't fathom taking a penny from the federal government and creating a burden in burying a family member. It was not in their paradigm to think that they were above everybody else. As a matter of fact, the framers did not want their faces on money. They did not want monuments. They were mortal men that were doing what needed to be done in contributing for the posterity of this nation to enjoy liberty. They did not want to become gods, demigods, and have this special status. And so we've really failed in what they have asked us to do by just throwing their faces and these monuments, faces on currency and so forth, and all these monuments. Anyway, back to this white supremacy and this racism labeling and how they go after constitutional conservatives. I want to give you an example of this. The Northwest Grassroots group that I have worked with before, these people are staunch constitutional conservatives. There is not a racial racism or racist. Neither he, John Charleston, and Cecily Wright are not racists at all. They're probably some of the most open-minded and objective thinking people that I know. However, because they had a young man that had come by and somehow has been labeled, they, you know, had him come on and speak in their Northwest Grassroots meeting. Everybody leaped upon them and go, "Oh, you're racist, you're a white supremacist, you're supporting this guy that's a white supremacist." There's no evidence of this being him being a white supremacist. He may be insensitive, and he may be one of those people that, you know, would like to correct, and I've talked about this before, what he wants to do is end white guilt. He wants to end these concepts of, you know, destroying our heritage, end the concepts of, you know, forgetting and getting away from our heritage and what made this country, such as our Constitution and our constitutional history. And he has a point. We are not at a point, and we need to get to that point where we can actually stand up and say, you know, America is great because it is the land of the free, and everybody that comes here can embrace liberty. We're finally at that point where certain demographics are not necessarily protected, but all demographics are welcome in coming here and participating in individual liberty, individual sovereignty, especially if you go through the process. Unfortunately, we have this real perversion on the left that wants people to subvert our laws, to just come here so that we can enable them to vote, because they know that those people will vote for the free handouts. These are the leeches that they need to get onto the government teat so that they can, you know, continually vote for handouts. And to me, that is unethical. It is illegal of course it's illegal in lots of different ways, such as just the trespassing and or being here illegally. A lot of other things that they're doing in illegally registering, violating all sorts of laws. But the point is the Democrats are only seeking the control. It is a very insidious, self-serving party that wants to move America into communism and discard our Constitution. And so we cannot allow good organizations like Northwest Grassroots to be besmirched by these leftist Platonists and individuals and anybody that is starting to go after good constitutional conservative organizations, you better start questioning those people who are asserting those things, especially if they do not provide irrefutable evidence. I mean, we are a nation of laws, and we believe in the rule of law, not the rule of rumor. Just because somebody can spread a rumor regarding a person and or an organization does not make what, you know, what that person is asserting true. We have to see the evidence. What's that? What do they call the Missouri state? The show me state? Everybody should be saying, show me the evidence. And we should not give anybody a pass that says, oh, this guy's a racist, and then everybody just jumps on board. We have to end that mind model, that paradigm, immediately. We have to start moving forward with objective thinking and start thinking with common sense, logic, and reason. One of the things that I also wanted to point out is that that's going rampant throughout this nation. And I heard about this weekend, and it is infuriating me that the states are allowing this to happen because the states are actually destroying their own economy. I'm not sure if you know, but there are 25 states, and this is all about licensing for employment. There are 25 states in the Republic that require a license for somebody to braiding somebody's hair. Not even talking about beauticians. We're just talking about a hair braider, somebody that can, you know, comb your hair out and braid it. Are you kidding me? States are actually being that oppressive. And as I understand it, in New Jersey, it costs like $17,000 for 1,200 school hours for a person to go through to get a license for braiding hair. It's the same thing with licensing for floral arrangements, dog grooming. We're at a point now where it's almost illegal for kids anywhere in the United States to set up a lemonade stand. We need to change our direction. And the only way we can start changing our direction is understanding the magnitude of what will happen if we continue going forward over this precipice. We are literally at the precipice of failure. And so the process is starting to challenge the federal government and their authority. And the only way we can do that, my friends, is getting the states to stand up and assert their authority over all things that have not been formally delegated to the federal government within the Constitution. The federal government is only supreme in those enumerated powers that have been delegated and listed right there within Article 1, Section 8. Period. That is it. They have no jurisdiction in marriage. They have no jurisdiction in health. They have no jurisdiction in life. They have usurped the powers of the states. And so we need the states to take their powers back. If we can get motivated, and that's a lot of the things I do on this show is literally just like this licensing crap. These types of things are coming down from collectivized labor. These licensing barriers are literally something that the unions and other labor entities, collectivized labor, are trying to protect and keeping you from being able to enter in and getting a job and doing something with your life. They would rather see you unemployed or at least paying them dues to getting into their little circuit. It's almost like those taxi medallions in New York City that cost $1 million so you could just drive a taxi. Are you kidding me? The medallion costs more than what you'd ever probably earn as a taxi driver. My friends, I don't know what it's going to take, but you have to start getting involved. If you don't get involved, we will not have liberty to pass to our posterity. I am G.R. Mobley, and I am Reclaiming the Republic, and I want you to understand what it takes to do this so that you can join me. I will be back tomorrow, same time, and we'll be talking more about republicanism and reclaiming our republic. God bless, and we'll have you back tomorrow. Thank you so much. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.